Thank you for the worship, Lord. Amazing, Lord. I'm blown away, Father. And I pray that today, as we just continue to worship and receive your word, I ask that you would impart something that you keep with every person forever. Lord, I ask that you would release something today, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, before we get into it, I want to highlight a few books that I wrote over the years. So if you love praying for your pastor, yeah, who yelled? Who was that? Dee. Oh, yeah, the pastor. I wrote a book years ago called Brethren, Pray for Us. It's all the references where Paul requested prayer. As the chief apostle, he needed prayer from the people. And so he's always asking for it. And so this book is to help fuel your life of prayer for your pastors. Does anyone want to pray for your pastor? Come on, somebody. You got a free book right here if you want it. You back there? Come on up. Also, I wrote another one called Strengthening the Inner Man. This is Paul's prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. There you go. Bless you. Yep. Hey, the only thing with that book, when I give out free books, you have to pass it on when you're done. Highlight it, mark it up, but pass it on. We're going to pass around the church. Start a revival of prayer for the pastors. Okay, this book here, Strengthening the Inner Man, is based off of Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, where when he prayed for the church of Ephesus, the thing that burned in his heart more than their success in ministry, more than revival, it was that they would experience strength on the inside to go hard after Jesus. So that's what this book is about, is to help fuel your personal prayer life. So is there any birthdays today, this week, this month? Somebody back there? Okay, come on up. There you go. Bless you. And then also, I'm going to mention two others real quick. A simple book. All my books, for the most part, are pretty easy to read. Okay, this book is called Prayers of the Apostles. It's 17 prayers that the apostles wrote. And so basically, I put all the prayers in this little book. Again, it's very easy, okay? But then it helps you to pray those prayers back to the Lord and make Scripture your prayer life. And then this book, if you like a steak meal, okay, this book called Unchosen, it's obviously a little bit thicker than the other ones. If you like to argue with people, okay, about Calvinism and predestination and all that stuff, I only have two books left. They're back there. You can go ahead and grab one. But just don't argue with your wife. But it's a pretty good book. But it talks about election, all the deep things that most Christians don't really care about, and they probably shouldn't care about. But we went into all the scriptures about Calvinism and what the Bible says about it. Okay? I think that's it. Okay, so I'm going to get right into our notes this morning. So my passion as a pastor is for the church to hear the Lord. So part of my calling, I think it's the way that I grew up as a, just in the church I grew up in, was I have a prophetic spirit, and I want to see every believer hear the Lord. But I think one of the things that I've noticed in the church is that we've really missed it a little bit when it comes to hearing the Lord. Okay, so one of the chief passages of my life, you'll hear me preach this, Dave probably heard it over and over again, is Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 13. I'm sure you've heard it here, where Paul says that God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, so he gave us the fivefold ministry. You hear that term a lot in the church. And those five gifts, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, they're to equip the saints for ministry. So what I think we've done, and this is my personal opinion, is that we've put too much emphasis on the fivefold and not enough emphasis on their calling, which is to equip the saints. So we focus on those, and I love all of them, but we don't focus enough on what they impart to the church. For example, let me give you this An example of this. For the evangelist, right, here's what we do. When we want to see souls saved, a lot of churches go this route. We call in the evangelist, and we have camp meeting, or we have revival week, and the evangelist comes in. We invite our neighbors, our friends, preaches the gospel. We get saved, and then we go all year, and we don't invite our friends and neighbors, and then but we're going to bring the evangelist back in to win the souls again. Or the same with the prophetic ministry. If we want to hear from the Lord, we invite the prophet in. Then the guy comes in and he calls out people and then he leaves. And then the rest of the year, we just kind of wait to hear from the Lord till the prophet comes back. And then we seek the Lord that he might give us a word. And the reality is those ministries are meant to equip you to do the very things that they're doing, right? So the evangelist isn't just to be the guy winning souls. He's to help you to win souls. The prophet is to help you to hear from the Lord, right? The apostle, he's to impart to you a kingdom vision, a global vision of the kingdom, of what God wants to do in the earth. The pastor is to equip you to love people. So when someone's in the hospital and your pastor shows up, there's been 10 other people in the church that have already been there, right? That's what a pastor does. They equip. The teacher, they equip you to hear the Lord through the Bible, that you would know it and understand it. So when Pastor Sherry says, hey, let's have a Bible study. I feel like the Lord's calling us to do it. You have 25 people saying, I'll sign me up, right? I'm in, right? Because the teacher has equipped the body to discern the word for themselves. And so my mission as a pastor is not just to equip leaders to feed the flock. My mission is to help the flock feed themselves, to be mature, to be used in the very things that the Lord has called us to do. And so one of those things is hearing the Lord. I have a passion for people to hear the voice of the Lord. Okay, so one of the most important themes in the Bible, this is in your notes, is hearing God. And the reason that the Lord wants us to hear him is pretty simple, right? When I speak, you probably noticed this already, not much happens, okay? When God speaks, things begin to change. Right? When he speaks, universes come into existence. When God speaks, there's transformation. Things happen all around us. So we have to hear the Lord. And so Jesus, when he came, when you read the Gospels, I remember seeing this for the first time, and I thought, this is amazing. The word that Jesus used the most in his ministry is the word hear. Over and over again. Matthew 11:15, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. It's in your notes if you want to follow with me. It's a phrase Jesus used most in all the Gospels and in the book of Revelation. Matthew 15:10, when he called the multitude to himself, he said, hear and understand. Matthew 17:5, this is a few of them. It says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Right? So everything we do flows from hearing the Lord's voice. So if you're a pastor, you have to hear the Lord. If you're a worship leader, like my man this morning, just, I know he was hearing the Lord. He was just the flow of the Spirit. And what songs does the Lord want to sing? Does he want to be maybe a spontaneous time of prophetic ministry? Maybe it's the Lord wants to heal people during worship. Worship leaders need to hear. If you're a businessman, you need to hear the Lord, right? Do I buy this? Do I sell this? Do I take on this guy as a partner or not? You have to hear the Lord to run a business for the kingdom. Same with your spouse, the way you love your spouse or you raise your kids. You need to know when maybe you should discipline them and when you should show mercy, right? You got to hear the Lord. Like, Lord, how do you want me to navigate marriage? Now, I get it that there are times where you just use basic common sense, okay? I'm a common sense guy. You know, if you get up to go to work, I work at 3:30. I get up at 3:30 in the morning to work at FedEx. And I don't wake up and say, Holy Spirit, should I go to work? No, you go to work, right? And if people argue with me on that, I always tell them, you know, the biblical verse I have for that or biblical passage, I guess you could call it, is that there's a reason God put the book of Job right in the middle of the Bible. It's Job, actually, but get a job. Praise the Lord. Right? So if you go out to lunch today, you're at Cracker Barrel, and you have, like, the thought of, should I get that second plate of biscuits and gravy? Or you hit Red Robin up, and you think, should I eat that third cheeseburger? You don't need the word of the Lord, okay? Don't do it. Right? You already had 3 square meals and 6 snacks, and it's not even 12 o'clock yet, okay? Common sense, right? But I need to remind people of that because sometimes it gets weird in the church. Y'all know that. I knew a guy, a friend of mine, he was a friend, he would pray and ask the Lord what color or what socks he should wear every day. And he never matched the socks. And here I am, you know, I'm trying to color coordinate, and I must have had it wrong, but he asked the Lord, what socks should I wear? And he had a mix and match every day. I thought, man, that's interesting. I had a lady come up. We had a worship set one time, kind of like today. And Noah was on the drum set, and I'm worshiping. My eyes are closed. I'm not paying attention. And all of a sudden, I hear someone just pounding on the drums. Like, just, I got what Paul meant when he said, you know, if you have tongues without love, it's like a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. That verse made sense to me. And this lady comes up, she starts pounding away on the drums. And I'm like, what is this? You know, walk up, I'll say, hey, excuse me, what's going on here? The Holy Spirit told me to play the drums. I said, if the Holy Spirit, like, would he tell me to go pick up that violin and play it without any experience? Or just start jamming on the electric guitar without practice? Like, she said, no. And I said, well, neither is he telling you to get on the drums. You get some training. But I'm serious. I've had many examples of that. I had a guy come in one time. My wife has a dance studio in Seven Valleys called Light of Life. And we had a prayer meeting for her dance studio. Guy comes in with 6 or 7 foot long ninja swords. Kids are running around. He's like, I mean, I was like, is this karate prayer? What are you doing, man? Like, and honestly, I was more worried. To be truthful, I was more worried about him hurting himself than hurting the kids. I thought, this guy's going to cut off his foot, and I'm not praying for him. You know, buddy, what are you doing? Well, the Lord said to bring swords. No, he didn't, man. There's 30 kids running around here. Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, use common sense. Praise the Lord. At lunch, use a little bit of common sense. Can I get an amen to that? Everything we do in life flows from hearing the voice of the Lord. Hearing, now you might argue with me, but this is my professional pastoral opinion. Hearing is more important than love, faith, and obedience. So you might say, well, no, love's more important, and love is very important. Faith is important. Obedience, very important. But you know, there's a verse in the Bible that I found. It's in Deuteronomy. Jesus quotes it. He says, hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God. You say, well, no, I don't know about that, but I think maybe faith is the most important. Again, faith is very important. But you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says faith comes by
hearing.
Hearing by the word of the Lord. Obedience. Again, obedience is so important. Some people say, no, I think that's the most important thing. But there's a verse from Jesus that says, blessed are those who hear the word and they obey it. You can't even obey unless you hear. You can't have faith unless you hear. And you can't love unless you hear. Amen? Y'all with me? So the issue that I have in our culture today is we're surrounded with so much noise and so many voices. Like, it's crazy. It's getting harder and harder to hear the Lord because we're just surrounded 24/7. It's constant. But Jesus promised, if you're his sheep, you will hear his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they'll follow me. And they will not listen to the voice of a stranger. Is there anyone in here who's a shepherd? Who work with sheep? I have 2 goats that are, their brain has to be the size of a walnut. I mean, goats, you know, when Jesus separated the sheep from the goats and he sent the goats away, I know why he did that, right? They're just stubborn, and they don't listen at all, right? But I'm not. I don't have any sheep. But I've watched YouTube videos, and which is close to it. And has anyone seen the video where there's a shepherd? There's all these sheep on the field on this like hillside, and the shepherd has people. There's maybe 20, 30 people that are there just to visit, and he teaches them all how to make the sound that he does to call them in, all of them. And one by one, they're calling, and those sheep are just, they're down, still eating. They don't listen to anything that anyone's saying. And the minute the shepherd calls out the same thing they just said, but in his voice, they respond, right? They come running to him. That's like, whoa. It's like the sheep know his voice, right? They follow him. Okay, so I'm going to give you a quick demonstration. Wesley, can you stand up? Just stay right where you're at. Now, I don't know this kid, but he's pretty good looking, huh? That's Wesley. That's my boy. He's 12, just turned 12 years old. All right, Wesley, who's talking to you? Your dad, right? How do you know? Yeah, because I just yelled at you yesterday, right? I'm kidding. So, Wesley, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you commands, and I want you to listen, okay? I'm going to give you different things to do. And I want you to follow what I say, okay? If you don't follow it, you might run into something, okay? But listen carefully. Okay, so Wesley, take two steps forward. Okay, take a big step forward with your right foot. Good. Okay, two more steps forward. Turn to your right. Slide right. Yeah, there you go. Cha-cha slide right. Go right again. Okay, turn on an angle to your right. Just a little bit. Yeah, follow my voice. Okay, walk five steps quick. One, two, three. No, good. Keep coming. Two more steps. One, stop. Turn to your left. Turn to your left. Take 10 steps. Quick. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, stop, 10. Oh, that's perfect. Dude, turn to your left. Take one step forward. Oh, stop. Take one step up. Yep, good job. One more step up. Yep, one more step up. You got it. Yep. Keep coming. Two steps forward. Stop. Turn on an angle a little bit to your left. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. All right, come forward. One, two, three. Keep coming. Four, five. Keep coming. Six, seven, eight, nine. Stop. Okay, take one more step forward. Stop. You can't see, can you? What are you cheating? Remember what I said. I want you to listen for my voice and obey it. I've done this with his older sister, not him yet, so pray for him, okay?
Wesley, this is Dad. Take two steps forward.
Wes, don't listen. Go ahead and jump.
Just step to your right. You're on safe ground.
And Wesley, this is your dad. So why didn't you step forward? You don't know their voice, right? But you know my voice. So put your hand out. We're going to take a big step. Actually, let's do this. Step forward, put your hand on my shoulder. Just got to lean down, because if you jump, you're going to fall off the stage. Sit down. Good job. You can take that off. I'll give you money later. Listen, his sheep hear his voice, right? They know his voice, right? Just like Wesley knows my voice. Heard Jim, thought, no, I'm not going to jump. Heard Dave, no, that's definitely not my dad, right? And that's how we know the voice of the Father, right? We hear it. We know it. We know what he's saying. It's so important that we hear the Lord. Our culture, I believe, is in an Amos 8:11 moment, and you can read that in your notes, where there is a famine of hearing the Lord. You know, we talk about shortages all around us, you know, because of certain people, but there's shortages everywhere, and there's shortages on baby formula and food, and you know, but Amos says there's going to be a time where there's a shortage of hearing the Lord. It's not a shortage of words, but of hearing. We're not hearing. And I think it's because of the technology that we have. We have so much technology, like 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, they didn't have what we have, right? So now you wake up, you check your phone. It's like, boom, right there. First thing we do, check Facebook. Everybody, boom, Facebook. Oh, man, what are they talking about? We have words everywhere. Then we're like, no, let's check Snapchat, TikTok, for all you older people that love TikTok, Instagram, Hulu, Netflix, Prime. I mean, if we wanted to, we could fill our whole life up with every other voice beside the voice of the Lord. And so the Lord, I believe he has a solution to our culture right now. And that solution is in Acts chapter 2. It's actually Peter quoting from Joel 2. And here's what God says he's going to do. It shall come to pass in the last days, Acts says, Acts 2:17, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy. Meaning they're going to hear the Lord and speak for the Lord. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So I'm convinced that this, when Peter quoted Joel, what happened in Acts 2 was only a down payment of what the Lord wants to do before he returns. Okay, and I believe it for many different reasons, but I'll give you some examples here. First of all, he's going to pour it out upon all flesh, right? So every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, not just Israel. It's going to touch all genders, daughters, not just sons, maidservants, not just men servants. Praise the Lord, right? My daughter, Eden, according to this passage, is going to move in the prophetic gift far beyond anything I've ever touched. She's going to touch it in a way that we're going to be astounded at our sons and daughters moving in prophecy. The word says it. I didn't write it. I'm just quoting you the Bible. But I love it. He says, maidservants, not just men servants, right? Women who are called to be powerful ministers of the gospel will move in speaking the word of the Lord. All generations, right? He says, your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Does anyone know why the old men dream dreams? Who said that? They take naps, right? Yeah. That's what I think. I think as you get older, you just take more naps, and that's the way the Lord speaks, right? But young men will see visions, right? I'll give you an example of this in my own life. I was, I'll share this. I lived in the city when my wife and I got married. We had an apartment about the size of this stage, you know? So you get into a fight, and you can only go to, like, the one end of the house to the other. It's like, we had people above us, around us, and over time, the neighbors knew that we loved Jesus, and so they would come. If a neighbor got into a seizure, I remember getting called, their dog went crazy attacking somebody, they called us, so they wanted counsel, they called us, if their daughter didn't come home, they would call us in the middle of the night, and one day my wife went off to work at her dance studio. I was in my living room on my knees praying. Just down praying, and I saw a vision. Again, I'm not the type that just sees like visions and stuff all the time. And I see this vision of someone breaking into my house. Like it looked like someone was gonna break into my house, and it kind of startled me. And so I just right before my eyes, I saw it, and I was like, you know, a little bit awakened by it, and within 10 seconds, someone was banging on my door. I was like, oh no, Jesus, no way, I'm not getting that door. Like, I thought this guy's going to break in. So I do what every neighbor does, or if someone knocks on your door and you don't want to know that you're in, you turn off all the lights, and you go to the window, and you kind of peek out, and I peeked out, and here was my neighbor, two doors down, dressed, this woman dressed like a seductress, coming to get counsel. I said, nope, no thank you, Jesus. And the Lord warned me. I heard the Lord say to me, don't open the door. I had a vision of someone breaking in. It was the enemy trying to break in, but the Lord thwarted the enemy's plan. I love it. And many of you have probably had visions and dreams where God has spoken to you. And so, again, it's going to be all prophetic expressions, dreams, visions, and prophecy, not just the Bible. I love the Bible. I preach it. I tell people to dive deep into it. But I know leaders that think God only speaks through the Bible, and they're greatly mistaken. Yes, the Bible is the primary way that he speaks to us, but God speaks in so many other ways. Okay, we have to be open to the voice of the Lord. Okay, so let's get into a couple keys from hearing God. This is real quick. We'll go through these. I'm out of time. I think so. I don't know how much time I have here, but okay. I'm not super long-winded, man. I just usually go through it, and where we end up, only the Lord knows. Okay, so here's a couple of things that over the years I've learned about the prophetic ministry and about hearing the Lord. First of all, hearing God's voice and moving in spiritual gifts is not about being used in our gifting, right? God is not after using you. He wants you to know him. Some people they think, okay, I got to get gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to be used by the Lord. Lord just wants you to know him. If you know him, like, he'll flow through you in however he desires to do to strengthen his people and to reach the lost. So I remember when I was at Bible college, I went to school with a guy named Lou Engel in Pasadena, California, and a guy named Cheon, and I took a spiritual gift test, and literally, I had no gifts. I wasn't on, like, I got the results back, and I don't even think I qualified to, like, you know, be a greeter. I was like, Lord, like, I mean, this is like, and I was actually discouraged by it. You know, all these people got words and different things about the great gifts that they have. And so I prayed about it, and I heard the Lord tell me, say, Tyler, you just pursue me, and whenever I need you to flow in a spiritual gift, I'll give it to you. I don't want you just to have one. I want you to be available for however I want to flow through you, right? So if I see someone that needs healing, I don't need to call up Todd White. Praise God for Todd White. But the Lord can flow through you to release healing, right? If I want to give a word, I don't need to, wait, I better call up Sean Bolts. He can give a better prophecy. No, the Lord can flow through you in the gift of prophecy, and the word of knowledge, and the word of wisdom, right? So I think sometimes those spiritual gift tests, they lock you into something when the Lord calls you into his fullness to move in the power of the Spirit, but it comes by pursuing Jesus. Just go hard after him, right? I know you do that here, but I just want to stress that. It's so important. Number two, guard against unnecessary distractions, right? So if the Lord wants to speak to you and your children and your grandchildren, then you have to guard against all the voices that are around us. Like, they're everywhere. And I'm not saying you have to delete Facebook or delete social media, but I think you need to be aware of it, okay? Be aware of how much you use it and be careful. I think God can use it to connect people and stuff with church, but I mean, literally a few months ago, I heard the Lord tell me, Tyler, delete Facebook. And it's not because of anything bad. It was just that I've been distracted by it. And I mean, really, does it matter if I see what you made for dinner last night? I mean, I don't know. I mean, but it can consume you. Like, people, like, it's a major issue amongst kids today. Like, teens are facing so much distraction. And that's the source of, that's the reason why we are the most depressed generation of human history, our young kids. They're more suicidal than any generation of human history. And I believe it's probably because of a little bit too much social media. And so I would just say this, guard your children. Praise the Lord, right? Listen, as long as your kids are in your house and as long as you're paying their phone bill, that phone belongs to you. Praise the Lord. So that means you have to set it and set time, you know, whatever they call that, screen time stuff up. And it's one thing I like about iPhones is that you can set it to where, you know, you can block certain apps and get rid of Snapchat, get rid of stuff that just doesn't help us. Praise the Lord. But as a parent, don't expect your kids to do it if you're addicted to it. I get an amen to that, right? If so many parents, they say, no, you can't have that, you can't. And then they're here with their phone, they're just constant. Lord says, be careful. There's nothing greater than hearing the Lord, but it's hard to hear when there's so many other distractions. Number three, one of my favorite ones, stay rooted in the Bible. God gave us 31,103 verses so that we could hear him. Okay, I love the word, and I pray that you would just dive deep into it. Every day, spend time in the Bible. There's something about spending time in the word. When you do that, the word comes alive to you, and you get what we call a rhema word. Y'all know what that is? Right? So you read the Logos, you read the word, the written word of God, but as you're reading it, all of a sudden the Spirit just takes a verse and jumps, like comes off the page. Whoa, Lord, what was that? I've read that 30 times, but now there's a rhema. It's like a word. The Lord wants you to take it and hold it, right? But if you don't spend time in the word, it's hard to hear. Like it's hard to get those rhemas from the Lord. The more time you spend with the Lord and in his word, the easier it is to catch a rhema from the Lord. Another thing, number four, it's another big one. Choose holiness. Okay, you know, prophecy a lot of times is conditional. Not always, like the book of Revelation is just gonna happen whether we believe in it or not, or whether it's gonna happen, right? But, you know, a lot of times I think, there was a period when I just came to the Lord, and when I was 18 years old, really got on fire for the Lord, and I heard all these words. Prophets would come in all the time. You're going to the nations. You're going to the nations. The Lord's going to take you and send you out to the nations. But what he didn't tell you is that unless you stop fornicating, you're not going to Maryland. How can God send you to the nations if he can't even send you to Baltimore? So there are times where, you know, we have to obey the Lord as well. Like I've heard different times, you know, it's words spoken over pastors. God's going to pour out blessing upon you. He's going to pour out the wealth of the nations. And yet the pastor can't even handle a church credit card, stealing from the church. Nope, no blessing. But the Lord said, no, that's not how it works, right? So again, we have to walk before the Lord. I'm not saying we work for the words to be fulfilled, but we position ourselves before the Lord so he can pour out everything he wants. Amen? So if you struggle, that's okay. Let's get back to the Lord, press in, lean into his grace, let him bring it to pass. He can always redeem words, even that have been lost. But again, don't think that God's just going to fulfill every word that he's given you if you're not living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen? I got quiet in here. So anyway, another one, letter E. Desire the voice of the Lord and the gift of prophecy. You know, I'll just read these verses here. They speak for themselves. 1 Corinthians 12:31, earnestly desire the best gifts. Paul tells us that's actually the gift of prophecy. It's the one that brings so much blessing to the body. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you would prophesy, that you would hear the Lord and speak for him. Verse 39 of 1 Corinthians 14, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Okay, so these verses are a command of the Lord. Like, they're not optional. You can't say, well, you know, I don't really like that gift. It's like, If you disobey it, you're disobeying Scripture, right? I mean it. This is like, these are things the Lord says, go after it. I want to pour it out upon this place. I want to pour it out in your life. But you've got to desire it. That means there's a godly jealousy in you for the things of the Spirit. And, you know, I've come up against that over the years because I'm a charismatic pastor. I love the Holy Spirit. I'm not weird or wacky. I'm against all that stuff. But I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, Tyler, I really appreciate your desire for the gifts of the Spirit. You're pressing in for all this stuff. But, you know, he didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. He said, well, you know what? We need to be biblical. And I said, brother, if you can find in the Bible a church, a traditional dead church without the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts, show me where it is. If you can find it, let's look at who's being biblical here. There's no such thing as a church in the Bible that's not charismatic. I'm not saying weird, but I mean where God's moving in power, like we had today in worship. I mean, there was a beautiful expression. I could feel the Lord just touching people and moving. That's normal Christianity, right? People go to church, they sit there and they hear a dead message, and they're not being changed, and they just keep coming back week after week. That's not what Jesus died for. Praise the Lord, right? He wants the fullness of God in our midst, and so that's why we go after it. That's one thing I love about the charismatic church, though it can get weird at times. I love that they're hungry for the Lord. Man, when you're hungry, you know, people are hungry, they do crazy stuff. Serious, like if you go like all day and you don't eat, your spouse, like your wife, she'll, I don't know if they call it hangry or whatever, but they get, like you people break into homes for food. I mean, when you're hungry, you'll do anything. You're hungry for Jesus, you'll go to the ends of the earth for him. Amen? Amen. Keep that hunger, man. I feel it here in this church. I would just say that. I felt the Lord just speak to me in worship. This church is a safe place. The reason you're all here, I don't even know where half my church is at. I don't know. They're somewhere. Not Denny's, I guess. I don't know. But this is a safe place. The Lord spoke that to me about this church. The reason he's going to fill it with young families and he's going to raise up two more YCFs in this community and around the city in different places is because this is a safe place. And there's a spirit of humility that's upon this church where God is doing something and you know it's the Lord, but you're not there saying, well, we're the premier church of your. You're just humble. I feel this humility in the air. And, you know, God can do anything with a humble people. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He'll just pour it out. So I just sense that in our midst here. And that's part of Dee and Sherry's DNA they've imparted to it. And I'm just blessed by that. It's awesome. There's a humility. And this is a safe space for kids, for youth, for your family. And so I would encourage you. This isn't in my notes. I would encourage you, stay rooted here. Amen. This is a safe spot. There's not many safe places. This is one of them. It's a refuge from the enemy. And the Lord has put his hand upon this people and this building and this leadership, and he's pleased with it. I mean it. I feel it. They're not paying me to say that. I really mean that. And I don't mess around with it. I don't make stuff up to flatter people. I really believe the Lord has. It's awesome. Last point, letter F. We're going to end here. If Nevin, is that your name, bud? Can you come on up and just play a little bit? Last point. Value every rhema of God. Now, you've heard me use that word before, rhema. Again, most of you know what that is, but it's when God speaks a word to you, whether it's prophetically through someone or personally in the Bible or you get a dream. What I would say is don't just take it lightly. Like hold it before the Lord because those words sustain you in the wilderness. Like I'll give you the first word God ever gave me. I was 18 years old at Bible college and I decided to get up early in the morning to pray like in the middle of the night. And so I I got up the very first night I got up. I was so tired. I was laying in bed. I was like, oh, Jesus. Started speaking in tongues, just praying out loud. My roommate from Norway is right next to me praying, Lord. And I heard the Lord speak to me, loudest I've ever heard. He said, the destiny of a man is forged in the secret place. That rhema jumped me out of bed and sustained 3:30 a.m. prayer for a whole year. And my whole Bible college, I didn't know this because I was getting up early. I was so tired, I couldn't do anything. I was like, my whole Bible college here, they were partying. They were out doing crazy stuff. I got called in the office one day, all these elite, you know, Christian, from big-time Christian families, and they called me in. They said, Tyler, are you partying? Are you doing this? Are you sleeping around? I said, no, what are you talking about? I said, what? My whole school, half of the school gets kicked out. I didn't even know about it. I didn't know what was going on. But I knew my destiny is going to be shaped in secret before the Lord. I just get before him, get in his word. Not always easy. It's not always joyful, but you stay before the Lord. Your destiny, there's nothing that can stop the destiny that God has for you. Amen? So I value that word. I still value it. That's, I don't know, 20 years ago, I'm 38. I cling to it. Lord, when God speaks to you, hold the word. If he gives you a prophecy, and I'll say this too, don't just stand up on a Sunday and start shouting it out. Submit it to the leadership. Write it down. Just do it in a safe way. Let them test it. Discern whether it should be delivered. Maybe you should just pray about it. Maybe you should just hold on to it. But again, don't just shout it out, right? But just this week, I was thinking of the verse where Paul said, test all things and hold fast to what is good. Now, I've always emphasized the testing part. But just this week, I felt the Lord say, hold fast to the good thing. Like, that's what he wants to emphasize, that when he speaks a word, hold to it. Right? When they preach a message, like, hold. God gives you a revelation through that message. Hold it. Don't let it go. Say, Lord, I want that. I want what was just preached. I'll take that, Lord. Pray into it. Seek the Lord for it. Wait upon him and let him bring it to pass. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. I'm going to pray that God pours out a spirit of prophecy. And if you want to, I'm going to pray for every person. But if you want prayer, I would just want to invite you to come forward. If you need to go back to get your kids, please do so. But I'd like to lay hands on some people and just pray and see if God has any words for anyone. And again, if the leadership team wants to come forward as well, the Lord isn't a respecter of persons, just we'll all pray for you. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for what you've done today. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would release right now. Let's just all lift our hands to the Lord. Lord, would you release the spirit of prophecy upon this church to build up, to edify, to exhort. Lord, I ask that every person here, down to our little babies, would hear what the Spirit is saying. Lord, I pray you would activate the dreams of this people, visions, prophetic words, Lord, just simple things as we're driving in the car. Lord, little things that you speak to us. Come and ignite your word in our hearts, we pray. So just take a moment, ask the Lord to release that gift to you. Desire it. Desire it. It's a good gift. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.